Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? Get your vaccine. Vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There are some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Biggest topic in U.S. news today, still Elise Morales' upcoming nuptials.
Mm-hmm. 4 days. We're at 4 days out.
Wow. How's it going, Elise? How do you feel these 4 days, knowing that there's only 4 days until your wedding?
I feel like it honestly changes minute to minute. Sometimes I get like panicked about like small, whatever things that need to happen. For the most part, I'm feeling good and I'm just ready for it to be the day. But I also have an unusual amount of things like that I have to do this week that just so happened to correspond with this week, which is also just how the cookie crumbles, isn't it?
Yeah. I have two. If you could hand off the rest of your wedding planning and organizing to one famous politician that we know, who would it be?
Ooh, Stacey Abrams.
Oh,
not even, literally not even one moment's hesitation.
Not at all.
I wish that we could
turn it blue. Everybody would leave a Democrat.
And I, you know what? It would solve me a lot of problems if that were the case. So it would actually be really fucking great.
What person would you invite to be the social lubricant? Like who you think could help meld the groups?
Who could bring everybody together?
I feel like, if I may interject, I would say Cory Booker would be a good hype man.
Yeah, you know what? And that's also good because here's what I'll say. A lot of the people who are causing problems are from the great state of New Jersey.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
They hail from none other than. Yes. So he could perhaps level with certain individuals, explain to them why things need to be the way that they are.
I can definitely see that happening.
So Cory Booker is actually a great response, Brian.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, Stacey Abrams, Cory Booker, if you're listening, Elise has broadcast her venue.
You
and
are
just
invited.
Shoot us a DM. Yeah. They're open. You are invited.
You are absolutely invited. Please show up.
Please come. Mm-hmm. So for the news of the day, the other news of the day, our first question to address, did former New York politician Andrew Cuomo abandon his dog at the governor's mansion? This is the question. I don't know either. I mean, if he had planned to, that plan has been interrupted by bad press. But so here's where we're at. As former Governor Andrew Cuomo prepared to leave office this week, reports swirled that he'd asked whether any staff was interested in inheriting a key fixture of the governor's mansion, his husky shepherd mix named Captain. So he's had the pup, which is reportedly a rambunctious one. Sounds like he's got some major Biden energy. Shepherd huskies, like they're big, goofy guys. They've got that. Yeah. You've had it since 2018. So the Albany Times Union reported yesterday that Cuomo's staff was asking around for somebody to take Captain in, citing two unnamed New York State police sources. Cuomo had reportedly left the dog at the governor's mansion while he went to stay with his sister. Well, you know, he was navigating this life stage and worked downstate during the storm, which he says was a temporary arrangement. Aides denied the story vehemently, saying that Cuomo was simply looking for a dog sitter while he goes on vacation. Cuomo himself wrote on Twitter, "Captain and I are a man and his dog. He is part of our family, and that's the way it will always be." Yesterday, I mean, this got kind of extreme. I guess yesterday, the executive director of the New York Federation for the Protection of Animals must have been invited on a radio show, and she expressed concern for the dog, like after reading the report, saying, I mean, yeah, I hope we didn't just leave the dog there. But Cuomo's senior advisor then called her to assure her that Captain would be staying with Cuomo. And it seems like this is all a big misunderstanding. But I mean, talk about a story you don't want to define your last day in office.
On the way out, everyone's like, did you abandon your dog? I mean, politicians are known to be poor stewards of dogs. Like Ted Cruz exactly. left his dog mm-hmm. during the hurricane and didn't. Mm-hmm. This is an ancient scandal, but Mitt Romney drove with the dog on the hood of his
on
car.
The roof.
Remember? On the roof.
Yeah.
Sorry, not on the hood.
Oh,
that would
no.
be so crazy. I mean, it's really bad to have it on the roof of your car as well.
Yeah.
And it was a scandal. And Mike Huckabee's son, like, killed a dog.
Oh,
or son, Mike Huckabee's son did something to a dog.
Remember when Andrew Yang was running for mayor?
His dog.
And for National Pet Day, he honored the pet that he rehomed. The Clintons' lab, I mean, this wasn't their fault. This was just a tragedy, but the Clintons' late lab was hit by a car. There is, I mean, there's a lot of people and a lot of dogs, so it bubbles up.
It's like, you know, if this story came out about me, it would be so ridiculous because everyone would know that I love my dog very much. So the fact that it's even a story is problematic for me because, you know, you should be able to easily dispute that you're not abandoning your dog. Like if someone like was like saying like Brian Smith is abandoning his dog, I'd be like, are you crazy? Like it would be laughable. Like
I mean, there would be there would be so much evidence for why that would be out of character. Whereas with Cuomo, there is so much evidence why that would be potentially in character. But I don't know. Uh-huh. I mean, even the worst people love dogs. I mean, the worst people don't love dogs, actually. That's how you know a person is like truly evil. But like, I mean, I got my dog from a Trump supporter. I mean, I rescued him. I mean,
people get dogs as props. People get dogs as props and then they realize it's a dog and they're like, oh, this is like a thing with,
for sure.
You know,
definitely.
It needs care. Clearly, there was some confusion about who was taking care of this dog and where it was going to go. And, but it's hard to imagine that you would just leave your dog,
he sounds like my sense from this is that maybe he's the type that like, I mean, he used the governor's mansion and his staff to do everything for him. That's the problem. So he probably was just like, I'm going to go. Somebody deal with the dog. Like that's how a lot of very powerful people right. And then, but then it's like, yeah, but like when, but it was probably like, hey, I'm going to go. Cause he wasn't living there. So it's probably like, hey, I'm going to go deal with the storm. Here's the dog. And then people were like, well, you don't live here as of Monday. So I guess the dog's ours. I don't know. I get like a little bit personally annoyed with like quote fake news stories like this, because I like to think I have slightly better judgment than like most like viral like accounts. And I won't post them. Like everybody was posting this yesterday, but I was like, I refuse to believe this man abandoned his dog, but everybody else got the credit and the engagement for talking about the fake news story. But I'm like, I don't think he really abandoned this dog. I really don't want to accuse somebody, because it's like, I mean, accusing somebody of abandoning a dog, honestly, the reaction to this was on par with, I mean, Elise Stefanik tweeted about it. She was, Elise Stefanik was like, we had to put down our sweet dog years ago and I can't stop thinking about it. Worst governor in the world. Of course, worst dog owner in the world. But that's some real, that's some real.
What
does
it say about you that you're using your dead dog in a tweet to attack someone? That's pretty fucked up too.
I mean, I think the perfect situation is that I know another political dog who recently lost a sibling who is in need of a rambunctious friend, and that is Major Biden. I think Captain and Major, I mean, match made.
That's true.
But Cuomo probably is like, I want my dog, you guys. Like, I didn't want to leave the dog. Nobody take my dog.
If ever a man needed a dog, now is the time.
Just like at his sister's house, sad with his dog.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. It is always better for dogs to be with their owners, like even when things happen, even with Amy Cooper, like the dog was taken away and then they decided it was still best to be with his owner. So we hope the Captain is
Captain
has a whole ass family,
but Captain doesn't know that Cuomo like sexually harassed people. Like,
that's true.
He just like thinks he's a really nice guy who takes him on walks and pets him.
That is so true. Exactly. Oh, that's nice. So for a palate cleansing headline this morning, we're turning to our Dame Buzzworthy News of the Day. Brought to you by Dame, putting buzz in all the right places and making the world a happier place, one vulva at a time. Today's Buzzworthy News headline is that New York has its first female governor. We woke up with a woman governor. And wow, just like that, what a Cinderella story. Just after midnight, Kathy Hochul was sworn in as New York's first woman governor in its 250-year history. The former congresswoman from Buffalo became the 57th governor of New York. She's 62, she has two kids, and she has vowed to lead the state through economic uncertainty during this prolonged pandemic. Her husband is a federal prosecutor, I believe, and he's going to stay in Buffalo, and she's going to commute to the governor's mansion. And she does plan to run again next year. Because this is a Dame segment, I feel like it's appropriate to bring in the Sex and the City reference, which is that I think this would be an amazing storyline for Miranda Hobbs in the Sex and the City sequel or TV show.
Well, I mean, it also makes sense because Cynthia Nixon ran against Cuomo herself. So in a way, it is a Miranda Hobbs storyline, a more successful Miranda Hobbs storyline.
I mean, she was a lawyer, or she is a lawyer. I don't know. We'll find out in the reboot, I guess, if she's still a lawyer.
Exactly. Or it could be a good explanation for where Samantha went. I mean, it would make more sense for Miranda.
She's the governor of New York.
Yes.
She doesn't have time to hang out with them anymore because she's the governor of New York.
Right. Right. Yeah. She was lieutenant governor, somehow went from PR to lieutenant governor to the governor. Makes sense. That's where she is. But are you guys excited to have a woman governor?
I'm excited in the sense that I'm always happy for women to move the needle. I really don't know much about Kathy Hochul, so I'm just kind of waiting to see what I think of her. If I learned anything from our time with Governor Cuomo, it's that I refuse to be dazzled.
Yeah.
I will not be dazzled by Governor of New York again.
It's kind of a tough gig to take over somebody who was just disgraced and who, like, we all learned a cultural national lesson not to overly admire this person. And she's like, hi.
If the last few years taught us anything, we don't need charismatic leaders. Politicians.
No.
If anything, maybe we could benefit from someone who isn't super.
We need charismatic Jeopardy hosts. We don't need
100%
political leaders.
Also, what does it say about Albany that she'd rather commute from Buffalo than live in Albany?
That's true.
There's bad juju in that governor's mansion. There's bad energy there all over there. I wouldn't want to move in there either. Now you got to take care of a random dog. No.
Oh, God. Poor Kathy. I mean, I can see a wonderful children's book that's just like Kath and Captain's first year. I'm excited to see what she does. Read a little bit about her this morning. It sounds like she's a delightful person and she knows the job ahead of her and takes it seriously. It does just feel like a weight is lifted that all of just the bullshit and like the, I'm sure not all of it. I'm sure there's a lot of work to do, but like we can actually get to governing. Like the idea of de Blasio having an actual partner to fix the fucking subway is very exciting to me.
Yeah, it is nice because like, I mean, well, it won't be de Blasio for long, but we have had this issue in the city where the governor and the mayor of New York are in a weird, I'm tall, I'm Italian, just like battle, weird situation that they're dealing with. Exactly. And so we can't get anything done. And like the subway has been fucked up because of it. And like just a lot of things in the city don't work the way that they should because of those two men fighting with each other. So
yes.
Perhaps at the very least, we can have a mayor and a governor who don't actively hate each other. And do things purposefully to cause the other one pain.
Yes.
High bar.
That would be great.
That would be excellent. And that was our Buzzworthy News brought to you by Dame. To get that buzz, you can try Dame for yourself by visiting dameproducts.com/sup. Plus, all new customers get 15% off their first order on dameproducts.com/sup. That's dameproducts.com/sup.
Hey, American Fever Dream listeners, I'm here to tell you that there is no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift, because now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone for any occasion. And it's easy. You just tap or click Gift Mode in your Etsy app or Etsy.com, and then answer a few questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you a curated gift idea list based on hundreds of personas. Now it is simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a Mother's Day gift for the quilter or a birthday present for the vintage hunter, there is something for everyone on Etsy. Some of my favorite things to do are go to Etsy Gift Mode and then search absurd things like, what kind of gifts do you have with Walter Cronkite on them? What kind of gifts do you have for dachshund owners? There's jewelry, ceramic, toys, board games, all kinds of fun stuff. A gifting moment is always right around the corner. Whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, or even just a day to say thank you, Gift Mode on Etsy has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Today's episode of American Fever Dream is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. It's Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription rental service, and for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You get fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. This is the best. You just put it back in your box, send it out, and before you know it, you've got your next one. And you always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. I bought the Rachel Antonoff pasta puffer from them. I was obsessed with it, like everybody who tries it is, and it was completely sold out everywhere else. So I felt like I really, really had an in there. So thank you, Nuuly. Nuuly is an amazing value at $98 a month for any six styles. And right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code FEVERDREAM20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code FEVERDREAM20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's with code FEVERDREAM20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
Okay, so there is drama in the House of Representatives. Oh. I saw you put this in the newsletter, Elise. I was reading about this in Politico because it really sounds like the third hour of a Real Housewives reunion.
They are, yeah. They're
going at it. So last night's caucus went down, like I said, like a Real Housewives white party, when a budget standoff between Speaker Nancy Pelosi and moderate Democrats popped all the way off. So here's the background. For the last week, a group of centrist House members referred to as the Mod Squad, which is just a funny, like, lamest name. Like, we're the moderate squad, the squad of moderates.
Yeah. Like, are they still, like, and it'd be even worse if they're self-referred as that, which I'm
couldn't sure, I figure like... it out, but I think it's possible that they are.
Yeah. Like, well, they're not refuting it. They're not refuting the title. So,
and they are led by, if you can believe it, Elise, a member from New Jersey. New Jersey is Josh Gottheimer. Again, these are Democrats. But so Josh Gottheimer is leading the Mod Squad, and they have all held strong that they're not going to lend their support to the big Democratic budget, this $3.5 trillion plan, until the House passes the Senate's bipartisan infrastructure bill. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has maintained for weeks that she would actually only pass the infrastructure bill once the budget was passed. You see our problem here. My understanding, and I tried very hard to understand this, is that no one's actually fighting over the contents of either bill, really. I mean, the moderates are upset that the budget isn't fully written yet, and they don't want to be on the record voting for something they don't know about yet. But this is still like, this is still, we're just voting on deciding how we're going to move forward. We're not voting on the thing yet. The moderates, they just want this bipartisan bill done ASAP. They want it done in case anything happens to threaten its ultimate passage. They are moderates, so they see themselves as at risk in their districts next term if they don't signal that they're willing to work across the aisle and make compromises and just get stuff done. I mean, this we've seen in the past couple of weeks how quickly the news cycle can shift. And then once you lose attention on big things like this, it's really hard to get it back. So I think they're just thinking like, we have to do this now so that we can ensure it happens, because they feel like if they don't, they might be at risk.
And the midterms. Like, the midterms are going to come up soon. People are going to be out campaigning. Like, people are not going to want to do anything. It's kind of do or die, I feel.
Yeah, like. Exactly. The thing is, though, is Nancy Pelosi, I will say, for her flaws and for things that we criticize her for, she is very, very good at knowing how to keep her members. Like, she wants them to win. She knows who's vulnerable. She knows what they need to avoid. So she's really, I mean, remember when she endorsed like the Kennedy instead of Ed Markey for Senate? Like, she really sometimes to a fault does what it takes to keep her members in office or where they're going to go. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't want to back down here. She's saying that they shouldn't squander their one opportunity to pass this multi-trillion-dollar agenda for the American people. And this would be historic. So Pelosi and other House leaders, they offered something of a compromise last night. This went like into the night last night. They offered moderates a chance to fold the vote to advance the budget into a procedural rule. So it wouldn't be like, it would just be a little softer of a vote. And in return, they'd promised to pass the Senate's infrastructure bill by October 1st. According to political reporters, the rest of the caucus became more and more furious with this group of moderates throughout the night. Things were exchanged such as, how dare you? I am pissed off. Jesus, you fucking assholes. Please, everybody vote for the damn thing. Mm. That is according to political reporters. As of this morning, the House is still hammering this out. Moderates want an even sooner deadline to approve the Senate bipartisan bill. They'll likely get it, but this is just an interesting fight because it's about how to move forward. It's not about, what do you guys think it's about? What is this fight about? I can't really figure it out.
Maybe it's, you know, for these New Jersey people, right? Apparently. Or whoever, like, to get some press. I mean, could it just even be like, just like, oh, swinging their dicks around? Sorry for the gross, you know, metaphor, but you know, it's true, though. I mean, there's parts of New Jersey that are super conservative. And, you know, part of like the blue wave that happened was like, you know, in New Jersey, especially. So I like Tom Malinowski, for example, like that. It's nerve wracking. Everyone's probably just thinking, I mean, House members are always just thinking about running. So I don't know. I just love the exchange of like that they are having, because there's nothing more fun at like work when you're like in a meeting and other people are fighting and you get to just like watch it.
Watch them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree, Brian. I think there's a little bit of dick swinging, as you said. I think there's some dick swinging that's happening. I think that there are always going to be, especially in the Democratic Party as it is constituted right now, a handful of people who see a political benefit to this like bipartisan sheen and this like, we're a tempering force on all radicalism. And we say right. no, we say no to mm-hmm. stuff. And so I think that like, you know, they're doing the same, they're playing the same game Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin are playing. It like ups your profile. It makes you important when the day before Nancy Pelosi wasn't talking to you and now she's talking to you. So I think it's like, I think they probably also think there's a benefit politically at home to the reputation it brings them. And I think it also does make them feel important and fancy.
Yeah.
Because now they're getting talked about on the Betches Sup podcast. And we weren't talking about them before.
We have never talked about Mr. Gottheimer before. We have had, I mean, like Stephanie Murphy, who we've actually had on the podcast. She was like the 10th person to join this group. And she got more. I don't think she's a person that did this for press. I think it's her district is pretty tricky. But she got more press than I've ever seen her get because she was one of only 10 out of 435 people. And there are people in that group that for sure, like nobody knows who they are until they do this. I mean, I'm reading the Politico reporter, Heather, I think it's pronounced Cagle's tweets of what's going on. And they're just fighting. They're just like, we're so close. They're just fighting over the smallest things because like, they just want to be validated. I think
I want to be heard.
I think that's what it is. I think Nancy Pelosi is just like, God, we just have to like, they're all like a bunch of kids. And it's she's like just got to manage like, their emotions.
Yeah. Or deal with someone who's just like a contrarian. And at some point you have to like, kind of like give them a little ounce of something just so they shut up.
Yeah. You guys know, like the people, like I used to wonder people at various jobs I've had who are like managers. And I'm like, what do you do? I never see what you do because you don't produce anything. And then I'm like, it's like, oh, you're dealing with fucking bullshit like this all day. Like, that's why Nancy Pelosi's office is so huge. The speaker's office is so huge because they're dealing with this stuff all day. Yeah,
she just needs to be able to scream in there. The yeah. Speaker needs to be able to just kind of like run around and be like, ah!
Precisely. Yeah, so I mean, this is more interesting. Honestly, the nature of this fight is much more interesting than the actual policies at stake. We've talked about infrastructure. The most important thing it looks like is going to be protecting Biden's chances at passing this really big thing. And it looks like just the path to do that is going to have them. It's going to have a little bit of a motion on it, which is fine.
And emotion.
Yes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
So throughout the last few weeks, we've reflected on the folly of attempting to force democracy on the unwilling. We're going to stay on that topic today, but this time we're not looking at Afghanistan. We're looking at Arizona. Earlier this year, the Republican-led Arizona State Senate, they demanded an audit of votes in Maricopa County. Remember that? Maricopa County. Despite no evidence of voter fraud in the state, Biden won by 10,000 votes. This morning, did that just give you guys like election week PTSD?
Yeah, it's like
I feel sweaty.
Just remember, I mean, there's nothing crazier than that week and like waiting to get the results. Uh-huh. But after having never had to wait for results like that, really.
Exactly.
Since 2000, really.
Yeah. And that's why these numbers, these margins, like really stay in our head. So Biden won that state by 10,000 votes. I feel like they're also fixated on, you know, remember Fox called it for Arizona. They're just like, we can get it back. We can get it back. So the Republican-led Arizona State Senate, despite basically everybody else telling them not to, they hired a Florida-based company called Cyber Ninjas, whose founder has promoted election conspiracy theories and has no experience, none, in conducting official election audits to audit this election. They basically gave them the 2 million ballots and said, let us know if these are right. Most Republicans in the state didn't want this to happen at all. They urged their colleagues to accept the election results, to reject Donald Trump's lies, and to move on. They did not do that. The Cyber Ninjas were actually supposed to submit their long-awaited report to the state Senate yesterday. Actually, they were supposed to do it a while ago, but they blew past all their deadlines. However, they failed to do that yesterday. Why? Because three of their five members tested positive for COVID and are reportedly very ill.
Sorry, but...
The irony is just so thick. So the state Senate claims that the goal of this audit is to improve the election process going forward, not to change the results of the 2020 election. But election experts have warned that an independent group getting complete control over all of these ballots could have a really chilling effect on voting. I mean, if you look at somewhere like Arizona, which might have a pretty large potentially population of people that are undocumented, if they see that these fucking crazies could get their hands on their votes, like maybe they don't want to vote. So that's sort of the idea here. Arizona Secretary of State, who is a Democrat, she released a 45-page report last week that basically said this thing is a mess. It has no legitimacy. Any outcomes or conclusions that are reported from this are just unreliable. I read through some of this. For instance, one thing she noted was that auditors were always seen with black or blue pens. Apparently, rule number one of election audits is that you do not fuck with blue or black pens because people write on the ballot with blue or black pens. You bring red pens because if you're just like, it doesn't even matter if you're dealing with the ballot. If you're just like, you know, taking notes or like writing love letters to your dog with a blue pen nearby and it gets on something, that can change a vote. So that was, it's just a bunch of stuff like that, which like day one invalidated what they were trying to do. There are huge questions. They've been taking pictures of the, I mean, this is actually pretty scary stuff, even though it's so ridiculous. They're refusing to release details about their process, which actually makes me wonder, do we think these guys have COVID? Or are they just like, we need more time? or they're like, people will absolutely believe that five Floridians conducting an election audit in Arizona got COVID and couldn't do it. They will absolutely buy it because people are worried they're starting to like destroy evidence of what they've been doing.
That is very interesting. I hadn't thought of that, but that is very, very interesting.
I feel like the details of their process should just be like, we are going to count the votes.
Right. What's the process? Then
tally them. And here, watch me do it on camera. You know, it doesn't need like, and also just the name Cyber Ninjas is hilariously bad.
I know. It sounds like a Cartoon Network show.
I feel like it's probably the name of like millions of like teenagers who are playing Fortnite or some sort of World Wide Web gaming. It's a username.
It is a username. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, the only people that wanted to do this was the Republican state lawmakers in Arizona. So this brings us, of course, to state legislatures and why they're so important, but Democrats like can't seem to get it together to win them or prioritize them. It's the same for school boards. So somebody who's been talking about this a lot is Amanda Littman of Run for Something. She also hosts a podcast with The Recount. So Caitlin and I are going to talk to her tomorrow all about this, why this happens, why Democrats seem to ignore this, and why it always comes back to bite us every single time. I expect to be very motivated by it. That's our show today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.